So he's saying, don't tell your brothers this dream, or else because of their jealousy, they will do something for you. Thirdly, it shows you that of the wisdom of the believer is that he does not يعني make problems for himself by getting involved with something which might lead to harms for him. In other words, the fact that you tell your brother something, this is halal, but it might lead to something haram, therefore you cut off that channel right then and there. So the wise believer, he does not even take a path which might be halal but which might lead to some dangers. And in fact, there is a hadith, some ulama make it sahih, and others say it is a statement of some of the يعني salaf. Shaykh al-Albani, يعني the Allama, he makes it sahih as a marfu hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that, استعينوا على قضاء حوائجكم بالكتمان. Help yourself in trying to achieve your goal by secrecy. If you want to get somewhere, you want to do something, use secrecy to get there. Don't tell people about it, because when you tell people, they're going to get jealous, they're going to do things, and then they'll try to stop you. Okay? So this emphasis, or this thing is also shown here. Another benefit of this ayah, it shows you one of the major plots of shaitan. One of the major plots of shaitan, that he tries to cause hatred between brothers. Blood brothers and Muslim brothers. Ya'qub already realizes this, and he says shaitan is a very great enemy to mankind. And this obviously is another point of benefit, that shaitan is a very great enemy to mankind, a clear enemy, aduwwun mubin. Okay? Another point of benefit is Ya'qub is aware of the nature of his children, because he knows what the brothers of Yusuf will do to Yusuf. Or he has a feeling. So right from the beginning we find that Ya'qub is well aware of his children. That's why he's telling Yusuf, don't tell your dream to your brothers. I know your brothers. I know what they will do to you. So it shows you that Ya'qub is a very cautious, a very wise man. He knows the status of his own children, and he's trying to protect sibling rivalry. He's trying to protect this type of any type of evil occurring from the beginning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَٰلِكَ يَجْتَبِيكَ رَبُّكَ. This is how your Lord chooses you. This is how your Lord raises your status. وَيُعَلِّمُكَ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ. And he will teach you the interpretation of ahadith. Now obviously ta'wil al-ahadith, the primary meaning is he will teach you the interpretation of dreams, right? However, there is another connotation here as well, and that is he will teach you the understanding of the wahi, because ahadith can also be a reference to the wahi or the revelation from Allah. So he will give you knowledge of the wahi. So he will give you two things: the interpretation of the dreams, he will give you this knowledge, and he will also give you the knowledge of prophethood, the knowledge of wahi, and you will be able to understand that and benefit from that. وَيُتِمُّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكَ. And he will perfect his favors upon you, just like he perfected it upon the family of Ya'qub, and upon your parents before you, Ibrahim and Ishaq. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perfected his favors upon all of these prophets of Allah. Ibrahim was one of the greatest prophets of Allah, and in fact one of only two who reached the status of Khalilullah, or the one who is a close friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only other prophet that we know of that had reached that status is the status of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, Ibrahim was saved from the fire, and so many other benefits and perfections were done upon the fire of this world. When Nimrud يعني lighted up the fire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him from that. And so many other blessings that Allah gave to Ibrahim and Ishaq and Ya'qub. So Yusuf is being reminded. And in fact, some people say that this is in third person, that is not directly to Ya'qub, but we are being told this. Yusuf is being told, or we are being told also, that Allah would perfect his favors, his blessings, upon Yusuf, just like he perfected them upon the people before. Raise you up to a very high status. Also, he will perfect the favors upon the family of Ya'qub. In other words, the children of Israel. Ali Ya'qub are the children of Israel, Bani Israel. Because Ya'qub, like we said, is the father of the 12, and the 12 then became the father of the entire Jews. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for a certain period of time, the children of Israel were the preferred nation, the preferred status. Okay, they had a blessing that no other people had. Therefore, he will perfect his blessings upon the Jews, also through the story and through the incidents that will happen to his family. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي يُوسُفْ. There are indeed, لَقَدْ يعني is an emphasis, indeed, there are four. There is in Yusuf and his brothers ayat, many signs, many points to ponder around, many benefits, many يعني عبر, many mawa'id that a person can benefit from. لِلسَّائِلِينَ, for the one who asks. So anyone who asks will find benefit. And this is and many times in the Quran, Allah says these are ayat lil-mu'tabirin, ayat for those who ponder, ayat for those who think. In this verse, Allah says ayat for those who ask, which is even less than thinking. You only have to think. Just ask and you will be able to extract benefits. And this is so true. You can go to the most ignorant Muslim, give him a translation of Surah Yusuf in English, and he will benefit so much from this, the story in English. So much he will understand patience, he will understand this, he will understand that. And then you go to the greatest alim, and he will write volumes and volumes about this surah, this one surah. So the miracles and the benefits of this surah are apparent to anyone who asks. Anyone who wants to know, he will find benefit from this surah, which is a very basic level, because like we said, there are other ayat who say that there are ayat for those who think, ayat لِقَوْمٍ يَذَّكَّرُونَ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ. Over here, لِلسَّائِلِينَ, for those who just ask. All you have to do is ask and you will find the benefit in this surah. إِذْ قَالُوا, when they said, now we're going to the brother's side here, when they said, la Yusuf, the lamb here is an emphasis, verily Yusuf wa akhuhu, and his brother was Binyamin, in English it is known as Benjamin, the Arabic and the Aramaic was Binyamin, the son of the right hand. His brother Binyamin was a full brother. Only Yusuf and Binyamin, they were the only two children from a certain wife of Yaqub's, and this wife was the most beloved wife of Yaqub alayhi salam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Yusuf and his mother have been given half of all beauty. All the beauty in the world, Yusuf and his mother have been given half of it. Okay, so we can understand that Yaqub loved this wife more than any of his other wives. Some ulama say this wife died when Yusuf was a child and he married her sister. Some ulama say no, this was the same wife that eventually entered Egypt and discharged the two. In other words, Yusuf's mother herself discharged it to Yusuf. Allah knows best, but the Quran says ummuhu, so we should, Allah knows best, it seems that it is his real mother. So the brothers, they said Yusuf and Binyamin are more beloved to our father than us, even though we are more than them. They were ten, and Yusuf and Binyamin are only two. These are the only two children from that wife. Verily our father is in a great, yani dalali mubin, a great misguidance. In other words, his misguidance, of course, the children are not talking about religious misguidance. Even they are aware that their father is a prophet. They are talking about misguided in this one aspect of loving Yusuf and Binyamin above us. Now, we can understand right now from this beginning that the brothers are not to the level of Yusuf alayhi salam in piety and taqwa at this point in time. They are not to that level. Right now they feel the jealousy. Right now they are envying their younger brother. And this shows you there is a reason why Yaqub loved Yusuf more than the other brothers, because of his piety, because of his taqwa, because of his good akhlaq and everything. And this incident from the beginning shows you there is a reason. Yaqub's love was not based upon nothing. It was based upon a reason that Yusuf and his brother were more pious and more knowledgeable and better than these other brothers. And this is shown right from the beginning when they feel this jealousy. This also shows you that, notice, Yaqub, or the children of Yaqub are not able to pinpoint anything except love. In other words, they cannot say Yusuf has been given more money than us, Yusuf has been, you know, given something we have not been given. No, because Yaqub was fair between his children, and this is something that we know from our religion as well. The Prophet ﷺ instructed us to be fair with all of our children. If we give one child a present, we should give the other child a present as well. Okay, we should not be discriminate. And this shows you that Yaqub was indeed fair. What is the proof for this? The children of Yaqub could only point out to the love. They couldn't say anything else. They couldn't say our father has given him a slave, our father has given him money, our father, no. They could only point to love. And like the Prophet ﷺ said, Ya Allah, when he's talking about being fair to his wives, Ya Allah, this is all that I can do physically, as for what I cannot control, then you are best aware of that. In other words, the love and the other desires, this is something a man cannot control, and he is not held accountable for that. So the children of Yaqub pinpointed out that our father loves Yusuf more than he loves us. Verily he is very mistaken, very clearly misguided in this. اُقْتُلُوا يُوسُفْ, let us kill Yusuf. أَوْ اطْرَحُوهُ أَرْضًا, or we will exile him to any land. يَخْلُ لَكُمْ وَجْهُ أَبِيكُمْ, the face of our fathers will be pure towards you. وَتَكُونُوا بَعْدِهِ قَوْمًا صَالِحِينَ, and you will be after this a very pious people. We will be, after we do this, a very pious people. This shows you the extent and the evil of jealousy. How evil can jealousy be? This is their own blood brother. It's not even a Muslim brother only, it's a blood brother. Their own father's son. And they say, let us kill him. They say, let us exile him. At this point in time, he's 6, 7, 8 years old, very young child. And because of this jealousy, they are willing to take this child and kill him. And this shows you the evil of jealousy. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْحَسَدْ. Beware, I warn you of jealousy. Because jealousy eats up good deeds like the fire eats up twigs. And this is exactly the case. Look at how many people, because of jealousy, they will do insane things, say insane things, go crazy, just because of jealousy. And if you're amazed at that, go back to this surah. The brothers of Yusuf themselves are willing to kill Yusuf right now. Let us kill Yusuf, or let us exile him to another land, so that we will be able to take the love of our father. This also shows you one of the plots of shaitan, in that he is saying, from the beginning they are saying, let's do this evil, and then we'll be good people. And this is of the plots of shaitan, which, a'udhu billah, all of us fall into that. Whenever some type of evil situation arises, shaitan gives us his waswas. Well, okay, let's just do this, and then we'll do tawbah, we'll be good after that. So this is of the plots of shaitan, that shaitan tries to entice you by saying, just do this evil, then you will become better after this. Allah will accept your tawbah, you'll be better people after this. However, we will find out through this story, and also as is well known, sins lead to other sins. This is a rule in Islam. Sins lead to other sins. Once you fall into a sin, automatically you are dragged into other sins as well. Okay, and we'll find this out now. But right now shaitan is giving this in their mind, that's just do this evil, then you can be good after this. قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ. One of them said, لَا تَقْتُلُوا يُوسُفَ. According to most of the ulama of tafsir, this was the oldest son. So he has some intelligence, he has some more iman and taqwa than the others. So he said, لَا تَقْتُلُوا يُوسُفَ. Don't kill Yusuf. وَأَلْقُوهُ فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبِ. Throw him into the depths of a well. Throw him into the darkest parts of a well. And this al-jub was a well-known well to them. It was not an unknown. They knew what they're talking about here. Okay. يَلْتَقِطُ بَعْضُ السَّيَارَةِ. This certain well, the caravans go by it. So when they go by this well, they will take Yusuf alayhi salam. يَلْتَقِطُ. They will pick him out. سَيَارَة in this case refers to a caravan. إِن كُنْتُمْ فَاعِلِينَ. If you're going to do something. So we see the oldest brother, he is feeling torn. If you're really going to do something, إِن كُنْتُمْ فَاعِلِينَ. If you want to do something, don't kill him. Why don't you throw him into the well? At least he'll live. At least, someone will take him and he'll go away from us. Okay? Now, this shows you another important point in Usul al-Fiqh actually, is that when you are faced with two evils, and you are going to fall into two evils without a doubt, you must choose the lesser of the two evils. You must choose the lesser of the two evils. You're not allowed to go to the higher evil by the excuse that I'm going to do evil anyway. Okay? And the implications for this are many in Usul al-Fiqh. We don't have time to get into them. But we have to choose the lesser of the two evils. Here the brothers are going to kill Yusuf. So the oldest brother gives them a better advice. Well, if you're going to do something, don't kill him. Throw him into that well, and he will actually be saved, eventually be saved. Okay? Now look at the evils that these brothers are falling into now. Firstly, they are breaking the ties of kinship with their brother. Okay? Secondly, they are transgressing the rights of their father. And this is of the major sins, to transgress the rights of your father is a major, major sin, right after shirk. Thirdly, they have no mercy for small children. And the Prophet ﷺ said that this is a sign of iman. Whoever shows mercy to small children and respect to the others, whoever does not show mercy to the children and respect to the others, he is not of us. Okay? Fourthly, the rights of the younger brother in particular are being ignored because they are the older brethren. And the rights of the older brother upon the younger are not like the rights of the younger upon the older. The older has more responsibility because he is more of a father figure than the younger brother. Fifthly, they are ignoring the love of their old father for his son. So callous and cold have they become, they are ignoring that by taking Yusuf away, they are taking away the love of their father. And this shows you the extent of jealousy and hasad. Don't be surprised when you find people doing strange things out of jealousy. Go back to the story. You will find more amazing things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing their plot and plan. قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَا. Now they have hatched their plan. They have taken a course of action. Now they have to implement it. They said, يَا أَبَانَا. A very beautiful name, our father, our dear father. مَا لَكَ لَا تَأْمَنَّا عَلَى يُوسُفْ. Why is it? Why don't you trust us with Yusuf? So look, they go to their father and they attack the problem immediately. They know that the father does not trust them with Yusuf. So they address it immediately. Meaning that psychologically, as you know, when a person talks about the issue directly, people automatically think he's not guilty of it. He's like, yes, I've been accused of this, but this isn't true. So immediately they're saying, our father, why don't you trust us with Yusuf? they know their father doesn't trust them with Yusuf, so by mentioning this point, they're trying to calm their father down. From the beginning, why don't you trust it with Yusuf? وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَنَاصِحُونَ. Many tawqid, many emphasis is here. Indeed, we will of a surety be sincere to him. We are his older brothers, we're going to take care of him. He needs to spend time with us. Okay, we will take care of him. So they realize that their father doesn't trust him, so they come to them trying to extract his love for his children, that وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَنَاصِحُونَ. We are his older brothers. Of course we're going to be sincere to him. Of course we're going to take care of him. How come you don't trust us with us? So they're trying to make their father feel guilty. You know, there's a type of tactic they use in the police force as well. You make the person feel guilty for something. So they're using this now in the beginning. Why don't you trust us? What have we done wrong? We haven't done anything wrong. Just trust us. We are going to be very sincere. We're his older brothers. So they're taking out the fatherly feeling in him. Then they come out with their plan. أَرْسِلْهُ مَعَنَا غَدًا. Send him with us tomorrow. That we will go out and eat and drink and play with him. And you can imagine that they must have been, you know, even the oldest son of them must have still been not too old. So they're still, it is allowed for them to go out and have a good time and play in, you know, like a picnic or whatever you want to call it. They said, we'll go and take him out tomorrow. And we will, نَرْتَعْ or يَرْتَعْ, it could mean that we will eat together as a picnic. It could mean we're going to protect one another. Both of the roots are there. وَنَلْعَبْ, and we will play. وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ, and of a surely, indeed, we will guard him. Once again, there's a lot of emphasis here. وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ, of a surety, we will protect him and guard him. So firstly, they try to get rid of the fear of that Ya'qub had for them. Then they're trying to get rid of any external fear. We will be good to him and we will protect him from any external harm as well. So both types of fears they're trying to get rid of in Ya'qub. We are Nasihun and we are Hafidun. We ourselves will be good to him and we will protect him from any external evils as well. And they're trying to then entice their father to send Yusuf with them. قَالَ إِنِّي لَيَحْزُنُنِي أَن تَذْهَبُوا بِهِ. Verily, he said, verily, I'm worried that you will go with him. It brings me grief. In other words, I love Yusuf so much. I don't want to be away from him. I cannot afford to be away from him. And I'm worried that you will go with him. It brings me grief to be away from Yusuf. And then he brings forth another excuse. وَأَخَافُ أَن يَأْكُلَهُ الذِّئِبُ. I'm worried that the wolf might eat him. وَأَنْتُمْ عَنْهُ غَافِلُونَ. While you are unaware of him. While you are ignoring him. So, some ulama, they have, the ulama have differed. Was Ya'qub really scared of a wolf? Or was he trying to say that you are the wolves that will attack my son? In other words, he's trying to use some metaphor here, okay? Whatever is the case, it shows you that it is allowed to, what is called in Arabic, tawriya, which means to say something which is not exactly what is intended, but it's not a lie. Okay, it's not exactly what is intended, but it's not a lie. And this is allowed in the chapters of fiqh, occasionally, as long as it's not an oath or a swearing, and it's not, it is allowed. For example, an example of tawriya, when the Prophet ﷺ was going with Abu Bakr, running away from Mecca, and there's a bounty on his head of 100 camels, and the people are looking for the Prophet ﷺ, dead or alive, to bring him back to Mecca. So there are all of these scouts and all of these Bedouins are going, trying to search for the Prophet ﷺ. They passed by a person. That person recognized Abu Bakr, but he had never seen the Prophet ﷺ. So he said, Oh, Abu Bakr, who is with you? He wants to know, is this the Prophet ﷺ? I'll catch him and take him away. So Abu Bakr said, he is my guide. In the Arabic language, this would mean, the primary meaning that's understood is he is the one I've hired, my servant, to guide me to where I'm going. Okay? However, linguistically, it also means he is my guide, he is guiding me to the truth. So Abu Bakr used this thing here. He is saying something. The understood meaning is not what is intended. The intended meaning is not what is stated. You see what I'm saying? It's a double meaning here. It's a two-edged sword. And you give your opponent or your enemy the one edge, but you mean the other edge. And there's no lie. The key is there is no lie here. Okay? As long as there is no lie, this in Arabic is called tawriya, and it is allowed. So there was maybe a small fear or a small possibility that the wolf might eat him. So Ya'qub can say truthfully, even if he means it in a true manner, he can say truthfully, I am scared that the wolf will eat him. But in his heart there is a greater fear, and that is that you will do something to him. Okay? So he doesn't mention that because there is no cause for him to mention that explicit fear right now. This also shows you that Yusuf at this age was very, very young. Because you're going to be scared that the wolf eats him, he's not a 12, 15 year old kid. He's got to be a very small child. So that's why the ulama say, and this just ijtihad, Allah knows best, 6, 7, very, very young, very innocent, just capable of understanding the dream and saying it to his father. So he's such a small child, maybe even younger than this, so there is a fear that the wolf might come and eat him. So the brothers say, قَالُوا لَإِنْ أَكَلَهُ الذِّئْبُ, they say, if the wolf were to eat him, وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَ, and we are a strong group, we are a great, you know, we're large in number, إِنَّا إِذَا لَخَاسِرُونَ, verily we are totally lost, there is no hope for us. In other words, if the wolf is able to come to him, and he is one and we are 10 or 11, right? Then indeed there is no hope for us. So they're trying to remove the last fear in Ya'qub alayhi salam. How can the wolf eat him? How can the wolf do anything to him? Why we are so large in number? Why we are so many people? So now they have removed every fear from Ya'qub. Ya'qub has no excuse left. What can he tell them? Because they haven't done anything yet. Okay? So he trusts them and he sends Yusuf with his brothers. فَلَمَّا ذَهَبُوا بِهِ, when they went with him, Allah does not mention what happens because it is understood. فَلَمَّا ذَهَبُوا بِهِ, the ending of the sentence is not there. And the meaning is, they did what they did. Okay? When they went with him, they did what they did. وَأَجْمَعُوا أَنْ يَجْعَلُوا فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبْ, they all agreed that they will place him in the darknesses of the well. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ, and we inspired him, meaning Yusuf, لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِمْ هَذَا, you will of a surety inform them of this deed of theirs, وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ, while they are unaware. In other words, you will inform them of this deed when they don't know who you are. طيب. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the cruelty of the brothers of Ya'qub by saying, وَأَجْمَعُوا, they all agreed. In other words, they had no mercy in their hearts. And the ulama of tafsir and the scholars of the Salaf, they described that what they did was, as soon as they exited from their father's house, they started making fun of Yusuf, being sarcastic to him, beating him. And when they went to the well, they're hitting him and they tied him up. And he tried to plead to every one of them one by one. And they all rejected him and they all made fun of him, except for, of course, Binyamin was younger than him as well, but the other 10 brothers were older than him. They all rejected him and they tied him up, and even when they tied him up and threw him in the well, he tried to grasp the well by the corner of his hands, the tip of his fingers. They even pried out his fingers and threw him down into the well. Cruel, merciless, heartless. وَأَجْمَعُوا, they all agreed to do all of this to them, to Yusuf alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ. At this point in time, can you imagine how Yusuf is feeling? The young child, he has no idea that his own brothers will do this to him. He is so innocent. He has no idea what his brothers will do. At this point in time, the revelation from Allah comes down, comforts him, brings him solace. So from this point, while he is so young, and this is in contrast to and many other prophets started their prophethood at 30, 40, right? As for Yusuf, right now Allah inspires him, because he has nowhere else to turn to. Shows you the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All other channels have been cut off for Yusuf, and Allah right then and there inspires him. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ, we inspired him. لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ, again, I wish we would understand more Arabic here, but there is so much emphasis here. Of a surety, you will indeed inform them. You will inform them of their deeds that they have done while they do not recognize you, while they do not know who you are. But what is the benefit of saying this? In other words, Allah is inspiring. What is He inspiring? You will inform them. Well, so what? So what if you're going to inform them? How does that bring comfort and solace? From many ways. Firstly, it shows that you're going to be alive. You're not going to die here. There will be a time that you will be alive and you will inform them. Secondly, it shows you that when that time comes, Yusuf, you will be above them in status, because you're going to speak down to them and remind them of what they did. And this will only happen when you are above them. Like the father reminds his son, like the older brother, like the leader reminds the followers. You have to be above them in order to make them feel guilty. If you're below them, they're not going to feel guilty. So just by this one phrase, so many benefits here. Thirdly, you would have reached such a high status, they will not even recognize you. They don't even know who you will be. You will become another person for them. So, by saying this one statement, so many implicit benefits are derived. That you will live, you're not going to die. Allah will not leave you alone here. Allah will protect you. And a time will come when you will be above them. And you will inform them what they did, remind them, and they will not even be able to recognize you. What you did, they will have presumed that you would have died. Yet another benefit, the fourth benefit here, yes, is that in this one phrase, of course, you can imagine now, even though these are his brothers, he must still have a love for them. He's a young, innocent child. And more so, how about the love of his father and the love of his mother? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding them that you will be reunited with your family. You will inform them of what happened, which means you will be reunited. This is not the last you will see of them. Yet another implicit good news, just in this one phrase here. Again, the beauty of the Qur'an. Allah says, you will inform them of this deed. So many benefits can be derived. Why is Allah revealing this? And yet another point, the fifth benefit here, is that the knowledge of the ultimate goal, right? It causes peace and content to the heart. Okay? The knowledge of the ultimate goal, it causes peace and content. In other words, the fact that you know that you will live through this and you will be of a higher status, right then and there, Yusuf has been appeased. Yusuf has been made content and calm. How can we benefit? Because we don't know the knowledge of the future. Well, we don't know the knowledge of the future in this world, but we do know what will happen to us in the Akhirah. So anytime we are surrounded by distress, by problems, we remind ourselves of the Jannah that we're looking for. We remind ourselves of the ultimate goal. And through that ultimate goal, we will find peace, we will find comfort, we will find solace. So even though, of course, Yusuf is being told something of the future in this life, right? But the principle can still be used. No matter what problems a person is facing, let him remember the ultimate goal that he is trying to achieve. And he will find peace, and all of the problems will be made easy for him, because he wants that ultimate goal. And the knowledge of the ultimate goal, the knowledge of the end of the affairs, it makes the present easier. The knowledge of the future makes the present easier. With that, I believe it is 1 o'clock, so we have to take the break now, inshallah. If there are any questions, we'll take them now. Subhanakallah, alhamdulillah, wa astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. The question is, were Yusuf's brothers considered Muslims? Yes, all of them were Muslims. All of them were Muslims. There's a son of a prophet. They were not kuffar. They were Muslims. In fact, you're asking if they're Muslims. Many of the ulama actually stated they were prophets. They became prophets. Obviously, not at this point in time, but eventually they became prophets. So one of the benefits that we will discuss in its place is that the ruling on a person, right, is based upon his final stage and not upon his beginning stage. In other words, these people, they did a major, major sin. You cannot imagine, you can't imagine saying, it's such a major sin, there's hardly any sin that is worse than this. Yet eventually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave them, and He raised their ranks, and Yusuf refers to them as stars. Which means they're something, they're not just nobody, they are stars, and the kawakib. And on top of that, many of the ulama, they claim that they actually became prophets afterwards. So when a person does a sin, you do not judge him, and then he dies, and he lived a pious life after that, you do not remember the evil that he did. As long as he died upon a good state, and a good state, you remember the good, and that is, the ruling of the person is based on his end, and not upon the acts that he did in the beginning. Any more questions? In what language did Allah reveal the inspiration to Yusuf? I believe it was Syriac, but I'm not positive. It was one of the Semitic tongues. One of the Semitic tongues, but I'm not positive which one it was in. The name of Yusuf appears in Surah Al-Ghafir. Is this the same Yusuf? Yes, it is the same Yusuf, but the story of Yusuf is not mentioned there. It is the same Yusuf, but the story of Yusuf is not mentioned. وَلَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ يُوسُفُ مِنْ قَبْلِ Yusuf came to you before. That's all it says. The people of Egypt are being reminded that Yusuf came to you before. But the story of Yusuf is not being told there. It is being told in this surah. You said Binyamin went with them. So did he inform the father of the evils, or was Ya'qub unaware of this until later? Binyamin was younger than Yusuf. So if Yusuf was 5, 6, you can say Binyamin was maybe even too young to realize what was going on. Maybe in 2 or 3, Allah knows best. But it appears that Binyamin was not aware. That is why he did not tell the father. And also realized that they plotted against Yusuf, and they did not plot against Binyamin. For a number of reasons, Binyamin physically was much younger than Yusuf. Yusuf at least can talk. And that from this you can infer, or it can be inferred, Allah knows best, Binyamin was even younger than that. Also that the love of Yusuf and Binyamin was greater than the other brothers, but the love of Yusuf was greater than the love for Binyamin. Therefore they wanted to get rid of the major person. Some dreams, although bad, may have a meaning behind it. Is it permissible for us to discuss such a dream? If a dream is bad, you wake up scared and frightened, it is not from Allah. This is one of the signs that it is from Shaytan. Even if it has some type of message that you're reading into it, if it is a dream that brings you fear, this is not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A dream from Allah will bring you peace and contentment. It will not bring you fear. So any type of bad dream, any type of evil dream, it is from Shaytan. Maybe the brother's jealousy was aroused because they knew their father loved Yusuf from the beginning, because they loved he loved his mother more, and he was more beautiful. He was so young. Could it be because he was more pious? Yes, because even a young person, it is possible that you can tell in his akhlaq and his dealing that he is going to be better than other people, inshallah. And Yusuf alayhi salam, obviously one of the reasons that he was low was because of his mother, there's no doubt, but that's not the only reason. And even the beginning of the story tells you the difference between Yusuf and Ya'qub, and the other children of Ya'qub. The other children plotted and planned, and Yusuf is the innocent one here. So there are other factors as well. Without a doubt, Yusuf's beauty and his mother's beauty had a factor, but there are other factors as well, the inner beauty and the outer beauty. The inner beauty also played a role. Relating to Ayah 6, is there any reason as to why ta'wil is used in the tafsir? We will talk about this inshallah at the proper time, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Even if the brothers are saying that the father is in plain misguidance, is this not accusing the Prophet of disbelief? No, it is not, because they are accusing him of misguidance in a certain field, in a certain area. They are not accusing him of misguidance mutlaqan, yani an open misguidance. They are saying he is misguided in his love for Yusuf. So the brothers, they never committed kufr. They did not fall into kufr. They were Muslims, and they knew that the father is a prophet, and they believed in their father as a prophet. If they did not believe in their father as a prophet, they would be kuffar. They are not kuffar, they were Muslims. And this is the whole point of the story. Your Muslims can also do this to you as well. Don't think that it is only the kuffar that might do some evil to you. These are the blood brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam. Allah, we're going to take over. Okay. What if a person has a recurrent dream about something bad happening to someone else? This feeling is not quite fear, but a feeling that the person must be warned to correct their ways, i.e. in their adab or salah. We have to realize, if the dream is a way to increase your iman or to increase your fear or your love of Allah, this is from Allah. Okay, if the dream increases your fear of the dunya or something, this is from shaitan. For example, if a person sees some of the people that have narrated this dream that has occurred to them, that they've told me about it, that they see themselves being punished for a sin that they did, right? This is in fact from Allah. Why? Because it reminds the person in this life, leave this sin. So when they wake up from the dream, they're not going to be scared of the thing, they're going to be scared of Allah, and they're going to love Allah, and they're going to want hope from Allah. In other words, it's related to their iman. When the dream increases the iman, when the dream is related to the iman, this is the dream that is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now if you see a person being in an accident, or you see a person his head is cut off, or something of this nature, this is related to the dunya, and this is from shaitan. Could you explain some of the principle of lesser of the two munkas? Would it be okay for Yusuf's brothers to advise the brothers not to kill Yusuf and to leave him alone? Yes, of course, if they were able to do that, that is the best. But the brother, oldest brother, he realized that the younger brothers will do something beyond his control. The oldest brother, he realized that the other brothers, right? And in fact, the ulama, we don't want to get into Israeliyat, because, you know, as we know, Israeliyat or the stories of the Jews and Christians as found in their books is not 100% authentic. And the Prophet allowed it for us, but he didn't want us to believe in it. We don't want to get into the use of Israeliyat. I try to make it a point not to use Israeliyat. But the ulama mentioned one particular brother who was the worst of them. And the oldest knew that he was the one that was really going to do something, whether he said it or not. So he gave them the lesser of the two evils. Okay, he told them to do the lesser of the two evils, knowing that they are going to do something. That is why he ends the ayah by saying, "In kunta fa'ilin," if you're really going to do something. Please tell us how we can effectively avoid and remove jealousy of people from our hearts if we have this weakness. Very good question, mashallah. How do we remove jealousy from our hearts? One of the main ways to remove jealousy from a person's heart is by turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by making dua to Allah to purify your hearts, to make them clean, okay? By practicing tawheed, by studying the asma wa sifat. When you study Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you study the names and attributes of Allah, you realize that it is not worthy of being jealous of anyone else. Okay. Also, by looking to the people above you, like the Prophet ﷺ said, in terms of the deen, we should look to people above us, and in terms of the dunya, we should look to people below us. So if we are, yani, you know, worrying about financial problems or this and that, look to the people below us, so that we can feel happy. Don't be jealous of the people above us. Look at those who are not even being having a full meal or living in a, you know, on the streets or something. Look to them, and we thank Allah for the blessings. And when it comes to religion, don't feel, oh, okay, I pray five times a day and my relative only prays once, I'm better than. No. Look at the one who is above you, he prays the hajj, the fast or whatever, so that you have a desire to be like him. Likewise, the Prophet ﷺ said, there is no jealousy except in two cases. And this type of jealousy is a praiseworthy jealousy in these two cases. The one who has been given knowledge and he acts upon it and teaches it to others, so you are jealous of him, meaning you want to be like him, not meaning you want that to be removed from him. And the one who has knowledge, has money, and he spends it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This also is a type of jealousy which is halal, in the sense you want to be like him so that you can also spend in the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, jealousy, like we said, is a very primary evil amongst mankind. That is why the Prophet ﷺ said, لا تحاسدوا, don't be jealous of one another. ولا تباغضوا, and don't hate one another. ولا تناجشوا, and don't do the practice of najash, which is a long interpretation. ولا ولا, and then he said, وكونوا عباد الله إخوانا, and be all of you, the servants of Allah, brothers in Islam. Realize that your Muslim brother is your brother in Islam. Always keep this in mind. Yani jealousy is one of the primary evils that leads to so much friction. And it is amazing that in fact, jealousy is very common amongst the ulama and the tulab al-ilm, and this is also present in the past. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says of the Jews that because of their jealousy for one another, they got misguided. Okay? حَسَدًا يعني فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ, they were jealous of themselves. So the knowledge came to them and they became jealous. And because of this jealousy, they refused to accept Islam. The Jews, they knew the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? But they were jealous. How come it was in his tribe? How come it came to the Arabs and not to us? Therefore, this jealousy led them to do actually kufr and to reject yani Islam. Is it haram to tell another Muslim a bad dream? Yes, because the Prophet ﷺ forbade it. It is not allowed to tell a Muslim a bad dream unless it was done ignorantly. Then in that case, repent to Allah and don't do it again. Would a bad dream come true, example failing in your exam? No, it should not come true. It should not come true. And even if it does, it is from shaitan. But it should not come true. The general rule is that bad dreams do not come true. They are a trick and a plan that shaitan uses to scare you and to cause you to act upon a bad dream. Then that should not be done. That's why you don't tell anyone and you ignore it and you seek refuge in the bad dream.